Meanwhile, starts off the game at 5-all, coming forward on the backhand volley, puts it away. Does he? Not quite. Nishanov gets it, but can't get the ball back into play. It's a good close of the net from Djokovic, just cut the angle on the backhand volley.
And it's Gantz's love.
Yeah, that is quick. Kanem, how do we feel about the Lemonheads cover of Mrs. Robinson? I thought it was pretty good, actually.
Oh, I love that cover. That's a great cover.
Kate is saying, what about... I think it was Kate. It was Disturbed Sound of Silence. Yeah, look it up. It's really good. Kate was saying, what about songs that need to be covered?
Ooh.
I want to see someone try and properly cover Radiohead songs, because I love Radiohead. But there are some interesting ones.
There's that children's choir version of Creep that is quite haunting.
Shanov returns the backhand side to the backhand of Djokovic at 15-love. Djokovic at 5-all in this second set as the forehand drifts long from Shanov, and it's 30-love. Yeah, there's also, I think I mentioned France the other day, there's a Spanish guitarist who has played, he demonstrates how close Radiohead is to Bach.
Yeah.
I love that. It's beautiful to listen to. 30-love, Djokovic. Taking his time on serve as he gets ready. Serves to the backhand of Ishanov, waiting for it. Backhand slice from Djokovic, trying to change the pace, give something different for Ishanov to look at, and he misses the backhand.
Caronzo.
Johnny Cash has that great cover of Hurt.
Yes.
Nine Inch Nails.
Someone mentioned that.
Yeah.
So get around to reading
that. It's a good
one. Strangler's cover of Dionne Warwick's Walk On By, says Jonathan. Djokovic serving at 40-love. Serves to the forehand of Nishanov, who blocks it back, but it's too short, really, and Djokovic just steps into the forehand and puts it away. And he moves ahead. 6-5 he leads in this second set as Chris Bowers gets ready to replace me. And Eleanor Preston, Lady Eleanor, has arrived.
We're talking about cover songs, great cover songs. And I'm going out with a banger, Joan Jett's cover of Crimson and Clover, which is phenomenal.
I just need to say, no one ever can replace you, Simon. I will replace your position here, but I'm not. No one can ever replace you. Cover versions. I mean, I don't know whether we can quite match the idea of versions of Radiohead songs, but I have to say that there was a couple of points during the match between Sabalenka and Svitolina earlier where I said to my co-commentator on tennis, on the TV commentary, how on earth can any umpire ever call hindrance after a couple of points like this? Because they were screaming like the best days of Capriati and Seles. And then I suggested that maybe, do you know the composer Carl Jenkins? He's a sort of classical composer, but he uses a lot of voices. I wonder whether he could do, he's done things like Adiemus and Palladio. Whether he could do an orchestral piece making use of all the grunts of...
Just going to say,
yes.
Hello, Chris, how are you?
Hello, Eleanor. Yes, I'm just having
a
seamless transition. Courtney and Simon are still in the room, although they're racing to get out of it. Is it something I said?
Men grunt too. That's all I'm going to say. Men grunt too.
Yes, that's true.
Not exclusive to female players.
No.
They tend to get the focus.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, why?
Well, because it's a slightly higher pitch,
I think.
And also because, particularly in some sections of social media, women tend to get criticised more than men for all sorts of things.
Yes, fair enough. Yes, no. I mean, I would not wish to limit Carl Jenkins' ability to compose a piece with male grunts as well as female grunts. Amazed what he might come up with. Right, Khachanov serving for the second time to stay in the second set. Forehand from Khachanov to the forehand of Djokovic. Backhand Khachanov up the middle is long. Just signs that Djokovic might be getting into this, although I think the signs are more that Khachanov is getting a little tight, given how significant a 2-0 lead would be, than that Djokovic is actually getting into it. Djokovic is still making mistakes.
It's very interesting, isn't it? Because he looked... I mean, he wasn't quite flawless in his last match, but he was close to. He looked like he was hitting his strides just at the right time. Whereas in the first couple of matches of this tournament, he looked a bit
fractious,
a bit grumpy.
Backhand return from Djokovic is lofted deep. It's over the baseline. Again, he had masses of time for that. It's almost like his radar's been off today.
Yeah, it's like a radio that hasn't quite been tuned in properly.
It slipped. The tuning has slipped. It's never the listener's fault. It's always the the fact that the airwaves are constantly moving. Hachanov, 15 all, 5-6, second set. He took the first.
But of course, nowadays, it's the digital processor's fault.
Yeah, of course, definitely. Yes. Wonderful sound quality, unless it goes wrong, and then it isn't. Backhand return to the backhand of Hachanov. Backhand Djokovic, forehand Hachanov into out. Backhand Djokovic to the middle of the court. Forehand Hachanov right to the corner. Djokovic throws up a very high ball. That'll go over the net, which will be smashed away off the bounce. It is.
Well, this is a test of Hachanov's self-belief, just this moment in the match. Because the head-to-head record, as we've been talking about, I'm sure, is not great for the Russian.
For the Russian, no. He has beaten Djokovic in Paris, but there were slightly extenuating circumstances. It was the final of the Paris Masters, 2018, and Djokovic had played a three-hour semi-final the day before against Federer. Quite outstanding match, but the tank was a little empty. And that was the year that Djokovic had come back. He'd had the elbow procedure in the early part of the year after his abortive Australian Open. He'd got to number one. Hachanov serves. Backhand return is long.
Karantkins.
And I have to say that Hachanov is giving Djokovic chances here. I mean, not clear-cut chances, but normally Djokovic wouldn't make the kind of errors he's made in this game. 2 points for the tiebreak. Hachanov serves down the middle too long.
Normally the slenderest of chinks of light
is enough.
Is enough for Djokovic to kick the door open.
Second serve
through.
Is wide to the forehand of Djokovic. Forehand Hachanov. Djokovic tees off for this forehand down the line. Slice backhand from Hachanov. Backhand Djokovic cross court. Hachanov slices again. Djokovic with his forehand across court. Forehand Hachanov at full stretch. Djokovic plays a drop shot. Hachanov won't even run for that one. Beautiful awareness of the court.
Caron de Trant.
Well, that was better from Djokovic. Hachanov is a big man. It's a lot to move around a tennis court. Djokovic, well, we know all about the skill set.
Yes.
And it definitely includes a lot of deft touch when he chooses to use it.
And some wonderful movement as well. The way he can move wide to his backhand, set both feet and hit the most amazing shots at full strength.
He's often at his best at full stretch. That's what marks him out, I think, from most tennis players,
indeed,
most human beings.
Backhand from Hachanov up the forehand wing. It's called long. It was a late call, and that's why the umpire is out of the seat. Djokovic is looking at the mark. He's not sure about this one.
No.
That's the umpire.
James Kyothovong just taking a very close look, almost looking along the line. Hachanov just questioning Kyothovong and asking how far it was, accepting the call with equanimity, but you can't blame him for questioning, because there was a little bit of doubt, wasn't there?
Once the umpire's made up his mind, it's clearly not going to change anything. Therefore, he's basically arguing to try and put the doubt in the umpire's head that he's been unfairly treated. So it might influence the next call. Hachanov serves, forehand return, across court, forehand Hachanov, backhand Djokovic to the backhand of Hachanov. Backhand Djokovic lofts this one, a lot of air. Hachanov tees off on this one. Djokovic flattens out his backhand. Backhand from Hachanov, backhand Djokovic. It's backhand to backhand at the moment, like a practice drill. Backhand Hachanov up the line, onto the line. Djokovic is there with his forehand, down the backhand wing. Djokovic lofts this backhand, forehand from Hachanov, clean winner. Beautiful shot by the Russian.
Well, I was about to say, I think it's quite a smart tactic to give Hachanov a little bit of air and to give the Russian something else to think about. But, he just cranked up the forehand winner down the line there. Gave himself room. Moved to his left.
S'il vous plaît.
But he's having to produce these shots now to stay in the second set. Another point for the tiebreak. Serves goes down the centre, but wrong side of the centre line.
But you know that about Djokovic.
Yeah.
You know that a lead
absolutely doesn't
is always slender.
Second serve is a double fault. And again, it was a big second serve, 160 kilometres. And I think that's because he knows there's no point rolling it in.
Not against arguably the best returner of serve the game has ever seen. And I say that with a huge nod to Andre Agassi on the men's side.
And Jimmy Connors? That's a good serve down the middle by Khachanov. Djokovic gets it back. Khachanov cross court. Djokovic is there. Goes down the forehand wing. But Khachanov is there. Backhand Djokovic cross court. Backhand Khachanov. It's backhand to backhand. Now Djokovic goes down the forehand wing. Khachanov cross court. Forehand Djokovic down the line but wide.
You could argue that Connors wasn't returning serves most of his career in the same pace as Agassi and Djokovic.
I would, but he was playing with an aluminium racket with the tiniest of twin spots.
Yes, but Simon, who is a huge racket nerd, was talking about the T2000.
The Wilson T2000, yes, absolutely.
The very long stem and then a tiny little head.
Yes, but Billie Jean King played with that, and Jones won Wimbledon with it in 1969. Khachanov, fourth point for the tiebreak.
I'm not sure you'd get very far with it now.
I don't think you would. Maybe in a tennis museum you might. Second serve from the Russian. That's a safer one. Backhand return from Djokovic. Backhand Khachanov up the forehand wing. Djokovic is there, but goes wide. And he seems to be leaning backwards for that forehand. And he walks slightly disconsolately towards his towel. But I think that's just...
Sisha Batu.
Ramping up the fact that if Djokovic can somehow get through this tiebreak.
Well, the tournament director, Emily Moresmo, is just in the corner of the court watching this one with interest. It's quite the marquee match.
S'il vous plaît.
I think we're all watching this with interest.
We certainly are, but it's a marquee match for a Tuesday afternoon,
it certainly is. If this goes to five, it might actually encroach into the night session. Just coming up to 5:15 now. Djokovic serves. It's on the service line. Djokovic's forehand to the backhand of Khachanov. Backhand Djokovic. Khachanov with his two-hander up the line. Forehand from Djokovic. Stroked onto the sideline. It's a shorter ball. Djokovic plays a drop shot. Khachanov will get there, but can't get it back. Had to be a very good drop shot, and it was.
Well, those long legs of Khachanov were
Djokovic.
All over it, but it's one thing to get to the drop shots, another thing to be able to get yourself into position and have enough time to do something spectacular with it.
Played a very nice cross-court drop shot, did Khachanov, but it was on the second stroke. He put the first one into the net, it bounced back off the net, and the second one he played quite nicely. That was the first point of the tiebreak with the Djokovic serve. Khachanov serves, backhand return. Khachanov takes it on the full. Djokovic is ready. It goes down the line. Winner! That was anticipation. Do wonder whether Khachanov picked the right option there. If he'd let it bounce, he could have waited to see which way Djokovic committed himself.
He hit the ball right back to Djokovic. Djokovic had the whole line to play with, and we know how good he is in those situations.
I went to Djokovic's practice yesterday, just to stand courtside and watch him hitting that ball. Just watching the left arm on the backhand, just remarkable. Forehand from Khachanov, lofted by Djokovic, very high, just inside the baseline. Forehand Khachanov, Djokovic on his baseline, flattens it out and the winner. As the match clock shows 2 hours, Djokovic opens up some daylight in this second set tiebreak. Too many breaks.
4-0. Djokovic.
How much is Khachanov going to come to rue the penultimate point where
he went straight back to Djokovic,
not a huge amount of pace into the middle of the court.
Djokovic he's abandoned the cap which he was wearing in the early part of this set. He's just checking his ball toss against the sun. It's a good serve, and the return is wide.
4-0. Djokovic.
And Khachanov just gesticulating a little to himself, shaking his head, and now...
He's played a good set.
Dancing on his toes. I mean, he's played a good set against a phenomenal opponent.
Yes, who's still at his peak. Djokovic serves. Missed the first serve. You heard that very clear call from the line umpire. Djokovic bouncing the ball as many times as he has done on occasions. Forehand return, forehand Djokovic down the middle, forehand Hachanov is long.
Suddenly this set seems a long way from Hachanov's grasp.
Djokovic.
It's funny, isn't it, how you get to a tie break, which implies that there's nothing to pick between the two players, and then suddenly, five love.
But I think that's perhaps due to the pressure that's built up to get to the tie break.
Hachanov serves, backhand return, deep to the forehand of Hachanov. Djokovic with his two-hander to the backhand of Hachanov. Backhander down the line. Djokovic is a clean winner. Might have taken a slightly bad bounce because I thought Hachanov was there, but it went under his racket.
This is what Djokovic has done throughout his career. Djokovic. He's raised his game when he's needed to. That's what champions do.
Yeah, my feeling about Djokovic, I mean, it's not... He and Federer and Nadal have taught us not to get hung up on age. But he's 36. He's got probably the biggest match of his year to come on Friday, assuming he wins this one. Therefore, he wants to win this in four.
Oh, yes. I mean, also, you know, we've seen signs with Djokovic. Not so much in the last match, but in a couple of his early rounds. Just stretching a bit, not looking entirely physically comfortable, worrying about this and that.
Hachanov serves. Set points against him. Backhand Hachanov. Djokovic with his two-hander up the line. Chipped by Hachanov. Brings Djokovic into the net. A drop shot. Hachanov will get there. Goes cross-court. Djokovic reaches for the backhand. Puts it away nonchalantly. He knew that set was won. And after 2 hours and 3 minutes, it's one set all.
Very tidy from Djokovic in the end in that tiebreaker. And just the effort to get to the tiebreaker almost sort of took it out of Hachanov. It's almost as if his concentration couldn't quite bear those extra 7 or 8 points it took to win the set on the tiebreaker. And Djokovic just, I think, going off court to change his shirt. He's taken a spare shirt with him.
Yes, and I think we're going to have the court sprayed as well. It's being swept at the moment. So I think it'll be 3 or 4 minutes before the third set begins. Just give you a mixed double score from the Suzanne Longland court, where Andreescu and Venus have taken the first set. This is a quarterfinal against Kostyuk and Arevalo.
Of course, one of the favoured pairs in Jamie Murray and Taylor Townsend went out of the tournament a couple of days ago. Jamie Murray suffering from food poisoning, apparently from a bit of dodgy octopus.
Right. My question would be, why is he eating octopus? I suppose it was on the plate in front of him. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it only cost him a couple of squid.
Oh. How long have you been saving that one up? I give you credit to say I trust that was not yours. That was someone else's that you've repeated.
No. That was all yours. Oh, I just thought I'd save it for you. It's your last evening with us here on Radio Roland Garros, Chris. And I wanted you to go out on a high.
And after that, I'm delighted. Right, let's see if we can get some of your messages. Have you got anything over on your computer?
Well, I'll have to put my glasses on. But yes, absolutely. Yes. Do keep your emails coming. You can email us at frenchopenradio@fft.fr, and you can tweet us, as always, at @radio_RG. And we love hearing from you. I got very confused with all the cover versions of songs.
Yes.
I think it extended well beyond my musical knowledge.
Yeah, I think also Simon and Courtney probably... if I say exhausted that one, I suppose you can go on forever. You can have a convention about covers, but yeah.
Yes, well, it's just such a... Everybody has probably radically different musical tastes.
Yes.
Simon was obviously a big Radiohead fan.
He
went into a whole nother little reverie about Radiohead.
He did, and I was watching Stefan, our producer, as Simon was into that reverie, and...
Nodding off?
Well, not convinced. Anyway, I've just noticed on our email there's an awful lot of messages about covers. So, anyway, thank you.
This is very... Chris's attitude to cover versions is very much Gigi's attitude to tennis movie titles and song titles.
Yeah, it's a little bit of that. No, I mean, look, some cover versions are very good.
Some are really, really terrible.
Yes, yes, but you can say that about most things in life.
I mean, we get cover versions here, particularly in the night session, because the brass band tends to bust out a little bit of Beyonce. Sometimes you get the Bee Gees.
We had the Blue Danube Waltz at some stage during the Svitolina-Sabalenka match.
Yes, and obviously lots of fanfares for the arrival and departure of Gigi from the commentary box.
Indeed, yes. I would expect nothing less.
Well, she is, after all, the Empress of Radio Roland Garros.
Yes. Anyway, keep your messages coming about things... as well as about cover versions, other things as well.
How do you see this match developing? Do you think Khachanov, do you think his shot is bolt? Do you think winning that first set was the most we can expect of him here? Do you expect Djokovic to just roll forward? Or are you seeing something different from Khachanov this time around? Do you think he has the self-belief? I mean, it's only one set all. All things are equal here. And yet it doesn't feel like that, does it? It feels to me... as if Djokovic is in the ascendancy. And partly it's because tennis is a momentum sport and the person who's just won the set feels like they're winning, even though in scoreline terms, they're equal.
But you know, one of the best things Djokovic does, which is underappreciated, is he can play a lot of a match on autopilot and then he will just have this sense of when he needs to go up that extra level, and suddenly for three or four games he won't miss anything. And you look at the score and you think, I thought this match was quite tight until a few minutes ago.
Well, and that was a perfect example, wasn't it? That second set, where they were, you know, largely in parity for much of that. Oh, there's Gigi's fanfare again. She must be moving into her position for her TV programme.
Unless it's for you or me.
I think it's unlikely. I mean, it could be. Could be. But, yeah, I think, I mean... I would argue there are lots of elements of the Djokovic game that are a little underappreciated.
Yes.
And I think that some of that is the style of play. You know, you look at someone like Roger Federer, and to a degree, I think Carlos Alcaraz has this. He has an extravagant brilliance. It's conspicuous. The talent is conspicuous. Yeah. And I'm not sure with Djokovic, because his game is so clean and tidy and clinical.
People don't appreciate what he does well. Right, we're ready to start the third set. Khachanov with an unreturnable serve.
And as you say, because some of it is almost imperceptible. It's almost that moment where he just smells fear, and up goes the level, and away goes the match.
Yes. Khachanov serving. Backhand return from Djokovic. A drop shot by Khachanov. Djokovic has read this one. He goes cross court. Khachanov goes up the line, and that's in. And Djokovic sticks up a thumb to say, yep, good shot, mate.
Stats Max has been in touch. Says Djokovic has won 7 of his last 8 Grand Slam quarterfinals when the opening 2 sets have been split. However, he lost his last one against Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros last year.
Yes. And that was a strange match. Backhand from Khachanov. A lob from Djokovic. Khachanov has to double back. He plays the... There's not quite a tweener. Drop volley from Djokovic. Wins the point. Djokovic makes everything look like... Well, of course you play that shot. What else would you play? But I mean, that drop shot, drop volley just now. So simple.
But it's simple, but and yet so perfectly executed.
It is. Exactly. I think part of Djokovic's problem with the fact that he feels people don't appreciate him is that you could see what Federer does that makes people purr. You could see why people are, you know, their breath is taken away by some of Nadal's shots, the in-to-out forehand when he dances to that ball. Djokovic is just smooth, get it in,
Toronto,
get everything back. What you don't appreciate is when the ball gets battered towards him, he makes massive amount of ground in a split second and then hits the ball into the last 10 centimetres of the opponent's court. That's phenomenal. It doesn't look anything special, especially on a TV camera.
I think you're right. I think Nadal has, stroke had, as we have to say at this stage of his career,
absolutely,
a kind of kinetic energy on the court that just, you know, brings this electricity when he plays.
Forehand from Khachanov down the forehand wing. Djokovic lofts his forehand. Khachanov will let that drop, and he's right to do so because it's long. Yeah, I mean, if you think of the Nadal, the two finals where he, the first two finals here when he beat Djokovic, 2012 and 2014, they both ended on a double fault. Djokovic double faulting the match away. And now, I don't want to get fixated on that, but in a way, Nadal won both those on force of personality. There's the one that was played over 2 days when Djokovic won eight games on the run, opened up a two-love lead in the fourth set, and Nadal still came back and beat him. And some of it's just... Nadal had this ability to... That's a great wrong-footed by Djokovic, but Khachanov's recovered. Sits up for Djokovic, goes back to the backhand. Khachanov's there, but Djokovic cuts off the volley. Lovely touch again. And I think... You know, people often talk about playing the reputation as well as the player. I think if anybody had that, it was Nadal. And that he won about five of his 14 titles here on sheer force of personality.
Well, and reputation. And I think there was a particular relationship. There is a particular relationship with Nadal and Roland Garros and the crowd here.
Yes, yes.
So you're not just playing the man. You're playing the legend. You're playing thousands of people who are cheering for him.
That's true when he was playing Djokovic. It wasn't true when he was playing Federer. This crowd takes a side. Forehand from Djokovic, chopped forehand from Khachanov, lands on the baseline of Djokovic, into out from Djokovic, has a lovely backhand from Khachanov, down the line winner, and he punches the air. I mean, the thing about
Avantage,
this crowd is that it likes to be involved, the sense that it quite early in a match picks a player that it wants to win. Now, on something like the Svitolina-Sabalenka match, it was easy because Svitolina is married to a French hero, Gael Monfils. Others, like the Graf-Hingis final of 1999, it's a drop shot by Djokovic. Khachanov gets there but goes wide. You know, that's one I think they started neutrally and turned against Hingis.
Yes, I mean, they are perfectly capable of changing sides halfway through.
Yes.
You're right, they
wanted Federer to beat Nadal, but pretty much anybody else, they wanted Nadal to win.
Yes, and I mean, it's almost wanting to be part of the story always.
Yes,
here.
Yes, that's a good point. And why not? It's Khachanov serves, good deep return from Djokovic. Khachanov goes wide, and here's a break point for Djokovic, first game of the third set.
Avantage, Djokovic.
I say, why not? I mean, the crowd needs to be involved. Look how we missed the crowds during the pandemic. But I do think that it's important that the crowd doesn't throw a player to the lions with the way I felt they slightly did with Hingis in 99.
Well, there have been... I mean, that was probably the most extreme example. Yes. We've had a couple of moments even during this event where the crowd has slightly crossed the line.
Forehand from Djokovic on break point. Down the line, Khachanov. Forehand Djokovic cross court. Forehand Khachanov. Backhand Djokovic is long from Djokovic. Interesting that he makes that mistake on break point, but it is first game of the set.
Equality.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, and don't forget, they booed Henri Lecomte in the final here in 1988. Frenchman gets to the final, plays Mats Wilander, has a bit of a nightmare, and middle of the second set, they start booing him. Khachanov serves. Forehand return. Forehand from Khachanov at the backhand wing. Djokovic is there, but miscues that backhand and it goes wide.
Well, we saw Svitolina being booed today because I think a little bit of misunderstanding the crowd, perhaps misunderstanding the situation with the handshake, that every time a player...
What handshake?
Well, exactly. But Svitolina's spoken at length over and has a really consistent position. I'm not going to shake the hand of someone who's Russian or Belarusian. And
yeah. And when you understand... that's a forehand from Khachanov that went wide.
So Svitolina, having had all this love from this crowd and all this warmth, walked off with the sound of boos ringing in her ears.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is, I think you'll find this is a story around social media around the world and probably tomorrow's papers, because most of the questions in the Sabalenka press conference were about issues other than tennis. Forehand from Khachanov to the backhand of Djokovic. Now Djokovic flattens out his forehand. Khachanov slices. Big forehand from Djokovic. Khachanov with his two-hander. So the drop shot of Djokovic. Khachanov will get there. What will he do with it? No, he can't get it up.
almost like the ball dropped there and sort of buried itself as if it didn't want to be found.
Djokovic.
So much underspin on the ball from Djokovic. And he's used that drop shot very, very well today.
Break point for the second time. Khachanov serves, backhand return. Forehand Khachanov goes to the forehand. Djokovic has read this. He lofts his forehand, but it's going wide again. And he again looks up to Goran Ivanišević and the rest of his team.
Egalite.
Spreads his arms now as if to say, when I run to my forehand, why am I not getting it in? Or was that effect?
Your gift for languages, Chris. And lip reading.
And sanitising.
Yes, possibly.
Khachanov at deuce. This is the opening game of the third set. Back and return. Forehand from Khachanov. Forehand of Djokovic. Forehand Khachanov is netted. And that's Khachanov screaming.
Did look a little bit tight there on the forehand side. Djokovic. You have to put that down to the shot making from Djokovic. But just a little bit cramped on the forehand there. Khachanov.
Yeah, it's the scream of somebody who says, why did I ever bother to challenge that brick wall in the first place? Third break point for Djokovic. Khachanov serves.
Let's
off the top of the net.
From his service.
Khachanov serves down the centre, forehand return. Forehand Khachanov, backhand from Djokovic. Khachanov with his two-hander, to the two-hander of Djokovic. Up the line, of the centre from Khachanov. Djokovic is there, forehand from Khachanov. Djokovic is there again. Surprise, surprise. Backhand Djokovic cross-court. Two-hander from Khachanov up the line. Forehand Djokovic cross-court. Khachanov makes ground to his forehand. Forehand Djokovic down the line. A slice by Khachanov. Djokovic runs around his backhand, plays a drop shot off the top of the net, and a winner. I have a feeling that that might have been a winner anyway. Although, of course, it could have dropped back his own side. And that break was coming.
You could feel it, couldn't you? Almost as if
Twas Yamash.
Djokovic has just picked right up off the tiebreaker. Hasn't skipped a beat. And like I said, although it was a set all, it is a set all, at the end of that second set, you just felt like Djokovic was poised now to start turning things around.
Just a quick word about the Sabalenka situation at the end. We don't want to get into a debate about this, but the facts are that at the end of the match, she walked up to the net, close to the umpire's chair, as if to say, would you like to shake my hands? Svitolina gave a very slight nod to her, shook the umpire's hand and went to her chair. Some people have said that Sabalenka, you know, acted improperly. My feeling is that she did the habitual thing. She was there. She knew that Svitolina probably wouldn't shake hands because the Ukrainians haven't for the best part of a year. And that's how it was. And I think people will interpret that the way they see it. And we all see the world through our own preconceptions, which are whatever our opinions are. But that will be the source of certain debate on social media, on online media, and in traditional media over the next 24 hours. Djokovic serving at love 15 now. Serves. It is an ace. I thought that was like it might have been long, but given good, maybe it caught the junction of sideline and service line. 15 all. Djokovic wearing a red Serbian shirt. It's the kind of shirt he used to wear for Davis Cup, but wearing navy blue shorts. He serves down the tee and catches the junction of service line and centre line. The rally goes on. Djokovic using every square centimetre of the court. He now wrong foots Khachanov by going behind him with a drive volley forehand.
Tronkins.
Well, Khachanov covering the court well, but really being given the runaround by Djokovic. And he's starting to find that on point after point against the 22-time Grand Slam champion.
Djokovic, 30-15, off the top of the net and wide. You can hear the ball bouncing. He's now ready to serve. Goes to the backhand of Khachanov. Forehand Djokovic. Forehand Khachanov. He's putting a lot of effort into that Khachanov, but he's not really getting much out of it. Backhand from Djokovic to the backhand of Khachanov. Backhand Djokovic up the line. Forehand Khachanov. Djokovic waits for that to land on its baseline. Forehand. Oh, now the Djokovic has stopped. He's ringed the mark. He hit the forehand and then stopped. James Kyofubong is marching slowly towards the mark. And he has confirmed that it was out.
Khachanov not questioning, and Djokovic was very clear. Stopped instantly.
Garankins.
Didn't miss by much, but didn't need to.
Djokovic at 40-15. Points for two love, third set. He serves out wide. Sure. An ace. Djokovic. Another ace. And there is something very, very fluid. Do you know the word that comes to mind at the moment is efficiency?
Yeah.
That actually, Khachanov seems to be putting an awful lot of effort into these ground strokes. And Djokovic seems to be just gently stroking them. And they're coming off the racket strings at the same pace.
Yes, it's almost as if Khachanov is saying, I'm going to hit this as hard as I can. I'm going to hit it really hard at you. And Djokovic is going, uh-huh. And just coaxing it back at him. It's a neutralisation.
It is a neutralisation. In fact, there's an interesting email we've had from Witt in New York City. I'll come to that at the next change of ends. Khachanov serves. Backhand return. Deep to the forehand of Khachanov. Backhand Djokovic. Backhand Khachanov cross court. Djokovic slices this one. If Khachanov had come in, he'd have an easy volley. Instead of which, he plays a drop shot. Djokovic won't get to that one. So Khachanov obviously knew what he was doing.
Well, Djokovic has done that to him a few times.
Khachanov at the president's box end. The whole court is still in sunshine, but we're just starting to get the first little bit of shadows coming across. Big serve from Khachanov, but again, it's missed. And Djokovic is just soaking up everything. Do you remember how Roddick used to thunder these serves down and Federer would look like he had half an hour to see them? Backhand from Khachanov. Djokovic goes up the line. Forehand Khachanov missed.
Well, that was always a great contrast of styles, wasn't it? Roddick against Federer, because Roddick was all twitchy and busy and trying to do everything really quickly, and Federer was almost sitting there on his deck chair.
Yes. The other contrast in styles is that one guy won and the other guy lost.
Well, that's true. That also was a factor, I think.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Roddick, who's a good guy. But his game just suited Federer to the ground. Forehand from Khachanov off the top of the net and long. And he's starting to look a little bit like a beaten man. Still only one set all. So even if you had to drop his serve here and lose this set quite heavily, he's still got a chance to regroup in the fourth.
I mean, it's really just a break of serve, isn't it? It's almost a break of serve at the start of the first set.
It feels different. Djokovic is into this in a way that he wasn't really in the first set. For much of the second, to be honest. Strange point early in the second set when he let a volley bounce and then lobbed a forehand over the baseline. Big forehand from Khachanov. This time he does get the benefit of the
Toronto.
Big, powerful forehand. Largely because the serve set it up. The drummer is going, and we have that at the opening of We Will Rock You. Khachanov, 30 all. Love 2, third set. Serves out wide, missed it. Bright sunshine. His lime green top shine as he serves to the backhand of Djokovic. Forehand from Khachanov. Backhand Djokovic. Forehand Khachanov cross court. Djokovic is there. Forehand Khachanov down the line. Winner. That's a great shot. Djokovic applauds.
Best shot that Khachanov has hit in some time.
40-30.
And when he's got time and space, the shot making is phenomenal from Khachanov.
Yes.
The problem is it's really hard to find time and space against Djokovic.
Yes.
Because he's always there.
40-30. Khachanov serves into the net. Yes, he's only dropped serve once. Second serve. He's kicked. Forehand of Djokovic. Backhand from Khachanov. Defensively, he's going to land just long.
And Gary says, Lady Eleanor, what have you done with Marcus?
Down, yes. Down. Yeah, I saw that.
Marcus is having a little lie down this afternoon.
I did hear some screams as I walked past the broom cupboard.
No, we love Marcus. No, he's had a little lie down. Poor love's been working very hard, as you may have mentioned.
Yes. Yes.
And preparing for the night session.
Yes, I think he did mention it about five times, yes.
Five?
Forehand from Khachanov into the open court to winner. Yeah, he's reining them in now.
Montage.
Five an Khachanov. Hour.
Yes. While accusing others of being work shy. we love him really. Yes. Did he mention Tottenham Hotspur?
No, but I gather there's some big news for Tottenham Hotspur today, so it's best not to ask about it, because we'll get half an hour on Tottenham Hotspur.
Okay, forehand from Khachanov off the top of the net. It lands in. Djokovic is there. It goes into the court, but Khachanov's read it. And Khachanov hold serve, thanks to that very, very wicked net cord.
And a large piece of courtside furniture that Djokovic couldn't quite negotiate around as he was trying to move his body into position.
That's the net cord judge, which is still there, despite the fact the net cord's been obsolete for... The net cord judge's been obsolete for, what, 15, 20 years?
At least that, yes.
But it's there for its advertising potential, but I think its ability to cause injury to a tennis player might prove its undoing one day.
Well, yes, we've seen a couple of players hit round the net post, and actually, on that side, you would ordinarily have lots more room, but for that little box with the sponsor name on.
I said that we had a message from Witt from New York City. Khachanov can be solved. I think must have written this at the end of the second set. Djokovic will play with measure and surge at the right moment. His reserve is too deep, and it'll take a Herculean effort to sustain any onslaught to overtake him through five sets. Too much history at stake for Djokovic to fold without a fight. Well, yeah, absolutely right, Witt.
But yes.
It sums it up
beautifully, and I think Chris and I are both very much in accord with you.
Rapidement, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
And James Kyotherbong just asking everybody to take their seats and hurry up. Obviously, they're taking absolutely no notice whatsoever. And moving at their own pace.
Yes.
But there are. It's filling up now, and so it does take a bit longer.
That's
because
right.
You have to wait a bit longer at the stairways as people are trying to move in and out. And lots of people arriving, perhaps having been watching on outside courts. Perhaps they've seen the scoreline. Because if you've got tickets for Court Philippe Chatrier, you don't always necessarily want to go and sit on that court when there's lots of other things going on. You want to have a look around, go to the shop, visit some of the outside courts, watch a bit of mixed doubles. But they might well have looked up, saw a scoreboard and thought, oh, that looks interesting. What's going on there? We'd better get to Court Philippe Chatrier.
So they come in at one set all and see a 6-2, 6-2 for Djokovic.
Quite possible.
It is possible.
It's possible. Likely. One would argue.
Djokovic serves at 2-1. A good deep return from Khachanov. He goes big on the forehand. Khachanov overdoes it. On the fourth stroke of the rally.
Gantzil.
Mikhail says, I could listen to Chris talk about tennis all day.
Oh.
Just superb insight and commentary.
Oh,
thank you, sir. If this is your last Radio Roland Garros shift of 2023, then you will be greatly missed.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm afraid it is, unless a plague hits my colleagues, which I do not wish for.
No, thank you. Mikhail also says, but in very small letters at the bottom, also great work from you, Lady E. Thank you very much, Mikhail. Well, we take any feedback, especially good.
Exactly. But thank you. That's very kind of you. As Djokovic serves, forehand return deep to the forehand of Djokovic. Khachanov chops this forehand and it's gone long.
Toronto.
Djokovic looking fairly relaxed. He's looking in such good shape. Hasn't really changed since he was, what, about 18, has he?
No, I suppose if anything, he's probably got more supple and more nimble. And no, his body shape hasn't changed, but he's just become so much stronger and yes, more athletic, and that ability to stretch and to go very low to the ball. I think his athletic ability has improved enormously, but probably not so much in the last 7 or 8 years, but probably from 18 to 26.
Do you know who he reminds me of physically? And that's Carl Lewis, the sprinter. I'll explain why in a second, as Djokovic serves at 40 love, 400 turn, forehand Djokovic down the line is a winner.
Djokovic.
I once had the privilege of, it was the time when Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis were the big
Djokovic
rivals. And they ran against each other in Zurich just before the Seoul Olympics. And I was a young reporter and I was there and I went down to do the huddle interview. I was right up against Carl Lewis. He won that night. And I was thinking, wow, this guy can run 100 metres in less than 10 seconds and there's no obvious muscle on him. He wears his muscles so well. Djokovic is the same.
He's sinewy, isn't he?
Yes. Yeah. But if you ride up close to Djokovic, you don't see any of the muscle. Miss hit return of serve from Djokovic. Hachanov comes in. A lob from Djokovic is going long.
Kansas Hill.
Dean Love on the Hachanov serve. He needs to break at least once in this third set to get anything out of it. Serving up 1-3. He serves into the net. If he just hold his service games, you never know. Djokovic might throw in a loose one. Doesn't look like it at the moment, but he is human. There's a lovely wrong-footing backhand from Hachanov. He served down wide, and then his Djokovic looked to go to his forehand wing. Hachanov hit behind him.
Well, we've certainly seen moments of weakness from Djokovic over the course of this tournament, and we've seen some of them in this match, particularly in that first set. He looked a little bit all over the place.
That's a good serve down the middle from Hachanov. Catches the centre line. Moves to 40 love. And this is one of those games where Djokovic, I mean, I think he'll take a good swing at this return, but I don't think he's going to chase much. 40 love. Hachanov serves down the centre. An ace. Yeah, Djokovic doesn't even move for it. Although it was well placed. In other circumstances, I think he'd have lunged
Djokovic
for it.
Djokovic just gesticulating.
I think he wants a racket.
Gesticulating back to his team, asking for a racket, maybe as conditions change, yeah, go into the evening
and
temperature drops a little bit.
One of his team has handed a stringer bag to Djokovic. Djokovic will put a couple of frames in there. It will be taken off and brought back 20 minutes later.
They do a phenomenal job, the stringers.
Yes.
Absolutely phenomenal. And early on in the tournament, particularly, the sheer volume of rackets that they get through is extraordinary. A magic machine that they use, but it's an incredibly precise job, as you can imagine. And these are players for whom string tension is and feel is all important. So you can bet if they made the slightest mistake, they'd find out about it.
Sam has written to us from Los Angeles. He says, I'm a professional musician, enjoying the commentary. We should all wish the great 6-time French Open champion, 11-time Grand Slam winner Bjorn Borg a very happy birthday today. He's 67. Happy birthday, Bjorn.
Well, happy birthday indeed, Bjorn Borg.
How's his son Leo doing? Is he making his way up the... obviously come to a bit of a standstill. He was a good junior, but he's now got to go into the big bad world of the lower ranks of the tour, which... it's very, very tough.
Well, he's currently at a career-high ATP singles ranking, or rather, he just has attained a career-high singles ranking as of the 8th of May, of 450 in the world.
Okay, and how old is he?
Standby caller. He's 20. He's just turned 20.
That's okay.
Turned 20 on the 15th of May.
Yeah, fair enough.
So he's just finding his feet.
Don't really want to go back to the covers debate, but as a professional musician, I'll allow Sam his nod to Mick Hucknall and Simply Red doing the cover of If You Don't Know Me By Now.
Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes.
Yes, very good. Yes. But, the cover was 89 by Simply Red. The original was 1972.
Merci.
I have to say, I don't know Simply Red's cover for that. I do know the original. Thank you, Sam. Djokovic serving 3-2. Still with a break in the third set. One set all.
Did you used to play that on your gramophone?
Well, I had a gramophone. In fact, I think it was an 18th birthday present to have my own gramophone with cassette deck.
Cassettes? Not 78s?
Yes. I do remember my grandfather playing 78s. I probably still got a few.
Yes. I found a whole box full the other day.
With scratches and all.
Very robust. They're incredibly heavy.
They are very heavy, yes. Backhand from Djokovic to the backhand of Khachanov. Up the middle of the court from Djokovic. Backhand to backhand now. Djokovic goes at the forehand wing into the corner. Chopped back by Khachanov. Djokovic comes into the net. Wrong for Khachanov with a forehand winner.
So for all you musos out there, just to be clear, if it wasn't clear already, the cool kids have left the building.
They have, yes.
And Granny and Grandad are now talking about their collections of 78 RPM records and their gramophones.
Have you wound it up, dear? Yes, no, I didn't have one of those His Master's Voice gramophones where you really did have to wind the thing up. I think my grandfather probably did. Backhand from Djokovic up the line. Forehand from Khachanov. A drop shot by Djokovic. Khachanov will get there. He off answers with a drop shot. Djokovic gets there, goes up the line with a simple winner. I say simple, he makes it look simple.
Well, as we were saying, he sort of makes everything look simple, doesn't he? And that, in some ways, is he almost makes it look too easy and too straightforward. You can't see the brilliance.
I do remember buying some great classical music records, LP records, in Czechoslovakia pre-89. There's some very good deals to be had there. Forehand from Djokovic. Oh, it's a fantastic shot. Forehand down the line. Khachanov didn't see it until it was past him. And Djokovic is really winning his service games comfortably now.
And this is where you wonder how much the head-to-head record starts to play on Khachanov's mind, albeit subliminally, because he's obviously not sitting there going through stats, but you just think the muscle memory of losing to Djokovic is there.
Djokovic meant Katra Jezada.
I remember talking to a player about, you know, they were 21 years old, doing well, and I said, how do you feel about playing? He said, you know, there's something quite wonderful about saying, right, I'm going to serve this to the backhand and I know exactly where it's going to land. I'm playing well enough for that to happen. I've never got there.
Me neither.
Khachanov serves, plays a drop shot behind it. Djokovic has seen it, goes up the line. A lob volley by Khachanov. Djokovic with a round arm smash. Khachanov nets.
Kashishi and I were talking about this with Sabalenka and saying that perhaps a year or a year and a half ago, there was an element of random about whether she was going to play well that day,
yes,
and therefore whether she was going to win or not.
That's a good point.
And now that element of random has been removed. She might play well, she might play brilliantly, she might play less well, but
she'll have a minimum standard.
She'll have a minimum standard, and if she doesn't play well, she can work out how to deal with that and how to improve in the course of a match.
Yeah, very good point. Forehand from Djokovic to the backhand of Khachanov. Forehand Djokovic up the forehand wing. Khachanov chops this one. Sits up for Djokovic, she goes up the backhand wing. Khachanov lofts this one. Djokovic steps in, takes it on the rise, flattens it out. Clean winner. Again, just inside the baseline. He has no time to see that. It's a looping ball, lands on the service line. He steps in and he's taking it waist high, off the bounds, smacked into the corner. I mean, it must be, it's not just the muscle memory of his strokes. His eyesight must be unbelievable.
His eyesight and his speed of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like, have you seen the film RoboCop?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's
years
almost
ago.
As though
yeah.
he's got a kind of tracking device for his adversary on a sort of computer screen in his head.
There's a couple of players I've thought of as RoboCop. That's a low volley from Khachanov, a lob from Djokovic, too short, put away by Khachanov. Moves to 15-30.
And I don't mean that Djokovic is robotic. I just mean that it's almost he has the ability to focus on his shot and his opponent at the same time. And that is one of the many gifts that he has.
Do you remember a player called Magnus Gustafsson?
I do. Quarterfinalist at Wimbledon? Semi-finalist at Wimbledon?
Wimbledon? No, Magnus Gustafsson. Quarterfinalist here, I think. Now, I think of him as... No, he was a clay quarter. He was part of that... Swedish. There was an era when Sweden had a fast court Davis Cup team and a slow court Davis Cup team, and he was the clay court Davis Cup team.
I'm thinking of a different Magnus.
Magnus.
Oh no, I'm not Magnus Gustafsson. Did he not do very well at Wimbledon in 1996? In that rather odd year when Krajicek won.
Yeah. Okay. If he did, I've forgotten.
Cairns Garant.
He had a serve that looked like one of those comedians that sort of, you know, pretend to be robots. Although you have to wonder, advances of artificial intelligence, how much they're pretending and how much it might be. Let's not go there. Khachanov at 15-40 serves into the net. Second serve. Forehand from Djokovic, forehand Khachanov. Djokovic to the forehand down the line. Backhand Khachanov up the middle of the court. Forehand Djokovic. Forehand Khachanov. Djokovic with his two-hand across court. Backhand from Djokovic. A drop shot by Djokovic. Brings Khachanov in, but Khachanov won't get there. Just a sublime drop shot by Djokovic. And he leads by 5-2 with
Djokovic
a double break.
Sank.
I said I was watching him practice yesterday. One of the things he was practicing was his drop shots. He knew that he would need the drop shot today.
Well, I think he also, yeah, he knows that Khachanov is a big man, a big unit, as they say, and the ability to take Khachanov out of his baseline big hitting comfort zone and just move him around the court, a really important skill against the Russian.
Thank you to Tom, who says the In Excess video, Never Tear Us Apart, was a reason why I visited Prague in 1992 before Czechoslovakia ended. Yeah, Czechoslovakia ended in the end of 92. Became the Czech and Slovak republics. But really, the Velvet Revolution was November 89. And so the whole centrally controlled economy started ending then. Thank you for your messages. French Open Radio at fft.fr. That mixed doubles I told you about has gone to a deciding tiebreak. Kostyuk and Arevalo won the second set 6-3 against Andreescu and Venus. Andreescu and Venus currently 5-4 up. As Djokovic steps out to serve for the third set. Take a 2-1 lead.
Fourth round at Wimbledon, 1996.
Fourth round, okay.
I knew I wasn't going mad.
Completely wrong.
Well, I mean, still wrong, but I like to find shades of wrong.
Yes.
Not just wrong.
Yes, I like that. Shades of wrong. Yes.
A lighter shade of wrong. That's me.
Yes. When I added 2-2, I wasn't entirely wrong.
Mikhail says, well-remembered lady, but Gustafsson lost his fourth round match at Wimbledon in 1996, beat Wayne Ferreira in the third round, lost to Henman in straight sets next time out.
Yeah.
Sam says, when will Djokovic get old?
Well, it's a very good question. It's amazing, isn't it? If you look at him, I mean, it's not just the body. I mean, he has this shock of black hair, which I suspect one of the reasons he keeps it very short. Although it's not massively short by Serbian standards. If you've been to Serbia, you know that a lot of men have hair shorter than his. But it's so thick. Down the line by Djokovic is a clean winner.
So thick, and I the last time I looked closely, not a speck of grey anywhere
no,
in it.
Exactly.
Jet black still.
And that, of course, makes him look quite youthful.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, it is a very fine, thick head of hair.